Thank you very much, Marcia. That is one very dense reading. It's like meat and potatoes with nothing else. So we're going to unpack it this morning. Today we begin a new sermon series in the New Testament letter of Ephesians. The title of the series is The New Humanity. That's kind of the overall theme of Ephesians. Verse 1 tells us that this letter is written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus. This is where first century Ephesus was located, slap bang in the middle there, northern edge of the Mediterranean. Who has been there? A few hands, lucky enough to be there, wonderful. Perhaps you've seen something like this in Ephesus, the old Ephesus. Scholars tell us that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter around 62 AD, likely from a Roman prison. Okay, so today's first sermon in the series is Praise for Blessings in that section that Marcia just read for us. So let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for your word written by the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian church so long ago, yet preserved for us today. Please teach us, please deepen our understanding of your glorious grace in Christ Jesus. And move us, please move us by your grace, by your Holy Spirit, to be individuals and a church that walks in light and love as your new humanity. We pray this for the sake of your glory. Amen. Okay, we begin with Oprah. My most cherished spiritual practice. There she is. Okay. She writes, or says on a video, I wanted to share with you my most cherished spiritual practice, and that is gratitude. You know, I've made it an actual practice since the 90s when I first interviewed Sarah Ben Brethnach, who had written Simple Abundance. That book changed the way I viewed life in general. I've been a convert ever since, with volumes of gratitude journals documenting everything from savouring a raspberry sorbet to the colour of a maple changing, to a three-dog night. Not sure what that is. When all the dogs are snuggled in bed, that's what it is. I still write down five things I'm grateful for every day. It feels redundant. This is what I want to tell you. You have to be specific. No, I'm not just grateful for my health, but I'm grateful for the sore throat that I had that wasn't COVID. I'm grateful that I had knee surgery and can now hike higher and faster and longer than ever before. I'm grateful not just for every breath, but I'm grateful for the sinus rhythm. Here's what I've learned. It's through the worst of times that this practice of gratitude is most impactful. Of course, you're grateful when things are going the way you want them to. It's during the worst of times you need the insight to recognize your own simple abundance and to have the faith in knowing that energy is constantly changing. Your own vibrational current changes when you focus on what you have instead of what you don't. I consider gratitude to be a major force field in establishing a better life. It's the foundation from which all other blessings flow, and I want that for you too. And she goes on to talk about tuning into her next program to learn more. So practicing gratitude has become a very popular thing to do. Oprah has certainly influenced her fair share of people in that direction. But for our purpose, notice that Oprah calls gratitude my most cherished spiritual practice, but notice that there is no God in her practice. She is not expressing gratitude towards God. Notice also that her gratitude is for material things and physical things, including the health of her body. Today's passage is all about gratitude and thanksgiving and praise for blessings, blessings that are truly spiritual, blessings that come from the hand of God, from the hand of God. So point one, every spiritual blessing. Verse 3 in chapter 1 of Ephesians is the subject heading, if you like. Praise be To the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The apostle is not denying that God blesses us materially. He does. He's not saying that physical and mental health isn't a blessing. It is. His focus, however, is on our spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings that are ours, whether we are materially blessed or not, whether we are blessed with physical and mental health or not. These spiritual blessings, which the Apostle Paul is about to unpack, are ours despite the circumstances of our earthly life. Spiritual blessings that we can always be grateful and thankful to God for. Spiritual blessings that can always result in praise of God, whatever personal circumstances we find ourselves in. So let's take some time to dwell on these spiritual blessings. Paul says we have every spiritual blessing. He then lists five in this passage. I don't think it's the full list of spiritual blessings that we have. I think there are more spiritual blessings that we enjoy, which he speaks of elsewhere. But what he lists here is wonderful. Spiritual blessing one in verse four is election. For God chose us in Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. It's nice to be chosen for things, isn't it? We like to get chosen, to be chosen for the job or the promotion or the team or the show or the performance. And generally speaking, in the world, we get chosen on the basis of what? Merit, ability. You'd hope that would be the case unless affirmative action comes into play, quotas or jobs for mates or knowing the right person, those kinds of things. But let's not worry about those. Generally, it's merit. But when it comes to God's choice of us, it is not merit. We know that it's not merit because God chose us when? Before the creation of the world. That's well before we did anything to merit our selection. And we know that it's not merit because God chose us in him, that is, in Jesus Christ. In other words, it's by Jesus and what he has done for us that we are holy and blameless in God's sight. Notice, by the way, that this verse tells us what our purpose is. What's God's purpose for me? What is God's purpose for us together as a church? God chose us in Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He didn't choose me because I'm holy and blameless. He chose me in Christ before the creation of the world in order to be holy and blameless. My life purpose, the very reason for which God chose me, is to live out my holiness and blamelessness given to me through Jesus Christ. Much more on that in the weeks ahead. Spiritual blessing two, adoption. We all know what adoption is. We know the emotion attached and connected to adoption. A child is parentless, orphaned, or given up to the state for adoption. What a relief it must be for that young child to be welcomed into a family that loves them, to be able to say mummy or daddy, to know love and security, to know permanency as a member of the family. Well, in love, God predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Notice again, when God loved us, when he made the decision to adopt us, it was before we could do anything to win his love. In fact, like the prodigal son, God loved us when we walked away, when we cut ourselves off from the family, from God and his family. He welcomed us home in Christ. Our adoption to sonship is through Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus that we can call God Abba Father, Daddy, Father in heaven. It's through Jesus. We can know his love, for Jesus died for us. We can know his love, for God gave us his Spirit. Blessing three is redemption in verse 7. In Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. What is redemption? Redemption is being set free from slavery. What's the big redemption event in the Old Testament? The Exodus, yeah, the Israelites being set free from slavery in Egypt, 400 years of misery, of slavery. How did God set them free? He sent 10 plagues, 10 judgments against Egypt for their wicked treatment of his people. The 10th plague was the death of the firstborn. But in every Israelite household, a lamb was sacrificed and its blood splashed over the doorframe. And then what happens? The angel of death passed over every house with the lamb's blood on the door. The lamb was sacrificed for the firstborn, but not in Pharaoh's house. And so finally he said to Moses, go, go. The Israelites were redeemed from slavery by the blood of the lamb. We have redemption through Jesus' blood, the forgiveness of sins. Before relying on Jesus' blood, we were slaves to sin and unforgiven. Now we are forgiven and set free from sin in order to live for God. And now we know how to live for God because of spiritual blessing four, a knowledge of God's will and plan. From the end of verse 8, we read, with all wisdom and understanding, God made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. I know that's a mouthful. There's a lot there. What's it all about? What's going on in the world? Do you ever ask that question? Do you ever wonder what on earth is going on? COVID, Ukraine, chaos in the US, China, inflation, culture wars, AI. Where is it all going? What's life going to be like for our children, or their children, our grandchildren and their children? Is there any grand narrative? Is God actually in control? Yes and yes to those last two questions. God has, in Christ, let us in on his eternal plan. As verse 9 puts it, he has made known to us the mystery of his will. What is God's will? What purpose is he achieving in this world that appears so chaotic and out of control? What's the grand narrative that God's on about? In Christ, when the times reach their fulfillment, verse 10, God will bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Do you see where everything is heading? God is going to bring everything together under Christ. The Lord Jesus will rule over all things with his Father. What a blessing it is to know that. What a blessing. We don't have to despair about the chaos in the world, the decline of the West, what life will be like for our children and grandchildren. God has it all in hand. He will sum all things up for Jesus, which will be very good for us. Blessing five, sealing with the Holy Spirit. Let me read from verse 11 there. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. Now, these verses seem like a bit of a repeat, but there's a slightly new emphasis here. The we who were first to put our hope in Christ are the Jewish believers. Paul's talking about himself and his fellow Jewish believers here, fellow countrymen and women who hope in Christ, we. The you in verses 13 and 14 are the non-Jewish believers, the Gentiles, as they were called, those from all the nations, the Ephesians, they weren't Jews. Us here, 21st century, Sydney, Australia, who don't have Jewish ancestry, we are the you. What does Paul say about us? Verse 13, you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Again, so many ideas in two verses. Okay, it's so dense, isn't it? Who can tell me what this is? Branding iron. Why are cattle branded? Ownership, belonging, yep. Protection, making sure they're not stolen, guaranteeing the future that the owner has for them. In the past, slaves were branded by their masters. It's a horrible thought, isn't it? Marked with a seal for the same reasons, ownership. God marks us with a seal, thankfully not the branding iron. It is his Holy Spirit that marks us. Possession of the Holy Spirit declares we are God's. We are his possession now and for eternity. Possession of the Holy Spirit guarantees our future. To change the metaphor, the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, our physical redemption in resurrection, to be God's forever. When we put a deposit down on something, what are we saying? Hold it, yeah, come back with the rest of the money. This will be mine. I'm taking ownership. No one else can kind of slip in, take ownership. Put the deposit down. God's gift of the Holy Spirit declares we are his, and we can be 100% sure that we will be his now and forevermore. What a blessing that is, especially for us Gentiles who weren't God's possession prior to Christ. As we'll see in a couple of weeks' time, we were far from God, but he brought us near in Christ. So near that he dwells in us by his Holy Spirit. We are his. We are God's possession. He's marked us with the seal. So there are five spiritual blessings, five wonderful things that we have experienced if we are in Christ. As I said earlier, there are more than five. We have every spiritual blessing that is on offer. And it is clear that in this passage that every spiritual blessing that we have is in Christ. It's all in Christ. We all know that there is a great deal of religion and spirituality in our world, different forms of Christianity, there's Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, there's New Age religion. And people derive all sorts of benefits out of their religion. However, true spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms, just as I've unpacked in these verses, are only available in Christ. I know that's a controversial statement in our world. To claim that Jesus Christ is the only source of true spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms is controversial, but the Apostle Paul couldn't emphasize this anymore. How many times in this passage does he say, in Christ, or in him, or through Jesus Christ, or in the one he loves? Lots. I counted 11. 11 times in our 14 verses. So the apostle couldn't be any clearer. If you want true spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms, you have to come to Christ. And how do we come to Christ? How do we find ourselves in Christ? We're not born Christians. We need to be reborn. When Paul says to the Gentile Ephesian Christians in verse 13, what he says to them tells us how we come to be in Christ. The Ephesians weren't born Christians. He says you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth. So we hear the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And when you believed, you were marked in God with a seal, promised Holy Spirit. So it all starts by hearing the message of truth, the gospel. The Apostle Paul brought the gospel to Ephesus in 52 AD. You can read about that in Acts 19. He preached the message of truth, the gospel, and they believed. They accepted the gospel, the message of truth, that Jesus Christ died for their sins and was raised, Lord over all, even over death, the one who gives us hope, Savior and King of the forever kingdom. They received this gospel as the word of God, not just the word of a man, the Apostle Paul, but the word of God. So consequently, when they believed, when they received, when they accepted, God gave them the spiritual blessing of his Holy Spirit. This is how a person comes to be in Christ and therefore experience every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. If you are here today and you are not yet in Christ, believe the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Accept it. Receive Jesus. It's not about being religious, whatever the religion. Even Christian religion that majors on ritual and rule is inadequate. It's not enough to tick religious boxes. Baptism, tick. Communion, tick. Church attendance, tick. Giving financially, tick. We don't earn spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms by being religious or spiritual. It's all of grace, Paul declares. The fact that we receive every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ tells us we can't earn these things. They are a gift through Jesus. God gives them graciously, not on the basis of merit, but because he is gracious to us. In love, he predestined us. It's to the praise of his glorious grace. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Don't you love this image? It's like a father lavishing gifts on their son or daughter on their first Christmas day, going overboard with the gifts. More and more gifts, they just keep coming. And they're too young to even know what's going on. And they end up playing with the box or the wrapping paper instead of the great gifts that have been purchased. God, our Heavenly Father, lavishes the riches of his grace on us, spiritual blessing after spiritual blessing, even though we don't deserve it. You and I can't be any richer, spiritually speaking. So how should we respond to all this? Well, how does the Apostle Paul respond when he reflects upon these things? He gets excited. He gets carried away. He gushes praise, 11 verses of it, which in the original Greek that Paul wrote is one sentence. Can you believe it? 3 to 14 is one sentence, one long outburst of praise. It should all result in an outpouring of praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure. To the praise of his glorious grace, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. To the praise of his glory. We, like Paul, should get excited. This is not ho-hum. We, brothers and sisters in Christ, have been given every spiritual blessing that there possibly is in Christ. Our lips should overflow with praise. Our lives should overflow with thanksgiving and gratitude. Too often we lose this excitement, this joy, this praise. We stop offering our lives in response to God's grace in Christ. We drift from thanksgiving and gratitude to duty and lukewarm Christian living. May today's word from God enthuse us, energize us, encourage us. May we encourage one another by living lives of praise and thanksgiving and gratitude, counting our blessings, not just the material blessings we enjoy from God's hand, but majoring on the spiritual blessings he has graciously lavished upon us in the heavenly realms. Let's conclude by saying verse 3 out loud together with a bit of gusto and with deep conviction together. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Praise God. Amen. We're going to sing.